Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important topics in your OCR GCSE sociology course, qualitative research methods. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam room feeling confident. By the end of this 10 minutes, you'll be able to define and distinguish the key qualitative methods, apply the PET framework to evaluate any method the examiner throws at you, and avoid the most common mistakes that cost candidates marks every single year. So grab a pen, maybe jot a few things down, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Qualitative research is all about depth over breadth. While quantitative methods like questionnaires and structured interviews give us numbers and statistics, qualitative methods give us rich, detailed personal data. The goal is to understand the meanings, feelings, and motivations behind human behavior. Sociologists call this Verstehen, a German word meaning empathetic understanding. It was introduced by Max Weber, and it's the theoretical heart of qualitative research. When you write about any qualitative method in the exam, linking it to Verstehen will immediately signal to the examiner that you understand the theoretical basis. That's AO1 knowledge right there. Now, let's go through the three main qualitative methods you need to know for OCR GCSE sociology. First up, unstructured interviews. These are in-depth, flexible conversations between a researcher and a participant. Unlike structured interviews, there's no fixed list of questions. The researcher has a broad topic in mind, but the conversation flows naturally, allowing the participant to raise issues that matter to them. The key strength here is validity. The data is rich, detailed, and reflects the participant's true views. Because the atmosphere is relaxed and conversational, participants are more likely to open up, especially about sensitive topics. Anne Oakley's 1974 study on housework and domestic labor is a classic example. She used unstructured interviews to explore women's experiences of family life, and the method allowed her to capture the emotional depth of those experiences in a way a questionnaire simply couldn't. However, unstructured interviews are time-consuming and expensive. Each interview can take hours, and then the researcher has to transcribe and analyze all that data. They also rely heavily on the skill of the interviewer to build rapport, that warm, trusting relationship between researcher and participant. Without rapport, participants won't open up. And because each interview is unique, the data is very hard to replicate, meaning the method has low reliability. You can't just run it again and get the same results. Second method, participant observation. This is where the researcher actually joins the group they're studying, living alongside them, participating in their activities, and observing their behavior in a natural setting. William F. White's 1943 study, Street Corner Society, is the go-to example here. White immersed himself in a low-income Italian-American neighborhood in Boston for 3.5 years to study gang culture. The result? Incredibly detailed, ecologically valid data, meaning the data reflects real life because it was gathered in a real setting. Now, participant observation can be overt, where the group knows they're being studied, or covert, where the researcher keeps their identity secret. This distinction is crucial for the exam. Overt observation avoids deception, which is an ethical plus, but it risks the observer effect, where participants change their behavior because they know they're being watched. Covert observation avoids this problem, giving you more natural behavior, but it involves deception, which raises serious ethical concerns under the British Sociological Association guidelines. The BSA states that researchers must obtain informed consent wherever possible, so covert observation is only justified when there's no other way to access the group and the research benefits outweigh the ethical costs. Third method, focus groups. A focus group brings together a small number of participants, typically 6 to 10, to discuss a topic guided by a moderator. The unique advantage of focus groups is that they allow you to observe group interaction. Ideas spark off each other, participants challenge and build on each other's views. This is something you simply cannot get from individual interviews. Sue Heath and colleagues used focus groups in their 2009 study researching young people's lives to explore young people's transitions into adulthood. The group dynamic produced insights that individual interviews might have missed. The weakness of focus groups is the risk of groupthink, where dominant voices shape the discussion and quieter participants don't get heard. The data can also be messy and hard to analyze because multiple people are talking at once. Right, let's talk exam strategy. The single most important tool you have for evaluation questions is the PET framework. PET stands for practical, ethical, and theoretical. Whenever you're asked to evaluate a research method, whether it's in a 4-mark or 8-mark question, Structure your answer around these three areas. Practical issues include time, cost, access, and sample size. For example, participant observation is extremely time-consuming. White spent 3.5 years in the field. That's a practical limitation. Ethical issues include informed consent, harm, privacy, and deception. For covert observation, the ethical issue is deception. Participants haven't consented to being studied. Theoretical issues are about validity, reliability, and representativeness. Qualitative methods tend to have high validity but low reliability and low representativeness because the samples are small and the data is unique to that context. Now, let me flag the three most common mistakes I see candidates make. Number one, confusing validity and reliability. Validity means the data is truthful and accurately reflects reality. Reliability means the study can be repeated and produce the same results. Qualitative methods are high in validity, but low in reliability. Get these the wrong way around and you'll lose marks. Number two, giving generic evaluations without context. Don't just write, "It is time consuming." Write, "It is time consuming" because the researcher must spend extended periods in the field. White spent over 3 years, and then transcribe and analyze large volumes of unstructured data. Specificity earns marks. Number three, ignoring the source material in Section A questions. OCR Section A gives you a source, a description of a study or scenario. You must lift details from that source to justify your points. If the source says the sample is vulnerable young people, you must reference that when explaining why unstructured interviews were chosen, because they build rapport and are appropriate for sensitive topics. Let's test what you've just learned. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give you the correct response. Question one, what does Verstehen mean, and which sociologist introduced the concept? Answer, empathetic understanding, the ability to see the world from the participant's perspective. Introduced by Max Weber. Question two, what is the key difference between overt and covert participant observation? Answer, in overt observation, participants know they are being studied. In covert observation, the researcher conceals their identity. Covert raises ethical issues around deception and informed consent. Question three, name one unique advantage of focus groups that you cannot get from individual interviews. Answer, the ability to observe group interaction, how ideas develop and change through discussion. Question four, what does PET stand for in the PET framework? Answer, practical, ethical, and theoretical issues. Brilliant work, making it to the end. Let's do a lightning summary. Qualitative methods, unstructured interviews, participant observation, and focus groups prioritize depth, validity, and Verstehen over statistical reliability and representativeness. Always evaluate methods using the PET framework. Practical, ethical, theoretical. Know your key sociologists. Weber for Verstehen, Oakley for unstructured interviews, White for participant observation, Heath for focus groups. Remember, validity means truthfulness. Reliability means replicability. Don't mix them up. And always, always reference the source material in Section A. You've got this. Good luck in your exam. I know you're going to do brilliantly. See you next time.